All right, hello all, and welcome to the Health IT Advisory Committee's Interoperability Standards Workgroup meeting. I'm Seth Pazinski, and I'll be serving as your designated federal officer today from the HHS Assistant Secretary for Technology Policy. This meeting is open to the public, and public feedback is welcome throughout the call. Comments can be made via the Zoom chat feature, and there will also be scheduled time for verbal public comments towards the end of our agenda for today. We're going to start with a roll call and an opportunity for folks to introduce yourself to the rest of the members of the work group. So when I call your name, if you could just state your name and give a brief introduction and try to keep it to a minute or less, if you could, please. And I'm going to start with our co-chairs, Sarah DeSylvie.
Seth, can I ask a question? I believe for clarity, if there's any conflicts of interest, do you want them stated now or later?
That's voluntary, but yeah, if you have any conflict of interest you want to share, now is a good time to do so.
Greetings, everybody. It is so lovely to have you all with us today. I see lots of new friends that I know from other places. My name is Sarah DeSylvie. I have the honor of co-chairing ISWG. I think it's my third year now, doing so. I am rural family practice for half of my life, and then I also am the founder and direct and gravity terminology director for the Gravity Project, which has a wide scope because our charter is to address the social determinants of health and develop data standards within HL7. So within that, we do lots of intersections with HHS initiatives and USDA and HUD. So happy to integrate all those things here. The only thing I want to state from a conflict of interest, or at least aligned thing, is in a different contract, I help CMS develop their social determinants of health quality measures through Yale Core. So I do that as well. And again, that's all within the USCDI aligned as social determinants of health data standard work. Now I get to pass the mic, I believe, back to Seth, and he'll go back to Ike. Thank you so much. And looking forward to 2025.
Thank you, Sarah. Up next, Steve Eichner.
Good morning, and thank you all for being here. My name is Steve Eichner. I'm the Health IT Lead at the Texas Department of State Health Services. Been working in public health for almost 20 years at this point. As part of my responsibilities at DSHS, I'm heavily engaged in standards setting, standards development, and standards utilization. I've been active with HL7 in a variety of ways, mostly the Public Health Work Group and currently the HL7 Management Committee. I'm also engaged with the public health community at large. I do have other expertise in looking at disability services, and I'm really excited to be working through the draft documents and seeing what we can do to improve USCDI.
All right, thank you, Steve. Up next, we have Shyla Blend.
Good afternoon, or good morning, everybody. I'm Shyla Blend. I am a nurse by trade. I work in a rural area. I oversee North Dakota Health Information Network here in North Dakota. I am on my third year, also, I believe, as on high tech. And my background, I've worked like in the private sector and in our health and human services, and now in the information technology realm. And also have a research interest and background with a PhD and with a focus on health systems. So.
All right. Thank you, Shyla. Up next, Ricky Bloomfield.
Good morning. I work as the clinical and health informatics lead on the health software team at Apple. I'm a physician, internal medicine, pediatrics. Have been working with this group for many years now in various forms. I've been working with interoperability initiatives for over a decade and also work with HL7 through the Argonaut Project, and I'm on the board of the Karen Alliance. The goal is to represent the patient perspective and patient access to health data. That's our interest, and doing so in a secure and private way. It's good to be back.
All right, thank you, Ricky. Hans Butendijk.
Hello, it's Hans Buitendijk, Senior Director, Interoperability Strategy with Oracle Health. I will be participating with an HIT EHR perspective in many of these. So my activities in EHRA are going to apply here, as I will frequently communicate with that community to figure out what works, what doesn't work. Have been active in health IT since over four decades now, in standard development for more than three, and in particularly in HL7. So I've been on the development of various standards that are involved here or would be involved here, and on the implementation side. Been with HITECH. This is now my fourth year. Just got reappointed. Thank you very much. Really enjoy looking and look forward to that. And I've worked with this group in this capacity, I think, for the last three, four sessions on the USCDI. So looking forward to on the next round and help move this forward.
All right. Thank you, Hans. Christina Caraballo.
Hi, everyone. I'm Christina Caraballo. I'm Vice President of Informatics at HIMSS. I'm a former HITECH member and have had the pleasure of serving on this work group, I think, for all of his years except for one, and was the former co-chair of the USCDI work group, which morphed into the interoperability standards work group. So thank you all. Sarah and Ike, thank you for your continued leadership on this work group, and looking forward to working with everyone again. Back to you, Seth. Thanks.
Thank you, Christina. Raj Dash.
Hi there, Raj Dash. I'm a vice chair for pathology at Duke Health, and working in lab medicine, interoperability, and standards development with the College of American Pathologists for over two decades. I think this is my third session on this work group, and a former member of HITECH. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Raj. Lee Fleischer.
Yes, Lee Fleischer. I'm a professor emeritus of anesthesiology at Penn. I'm the former chief medical officer and director of the Center for Clinical Standards and Quality at CMS, so therefore worked with the other federal agencies around interoperability, including Sarah overseeing the implementation of the social determinants of health. Of relevancy, I currently have a advising firm, Rubrum Advising, but we do not currently do any work on interoperability from a conflict of interest perspective.
All right, thank you. Derek DeYoung.
Good morning, everyone. Derek DeYoung, working research and development at Epic on our interoperability teams, focused primarily on the work we're doing between payers and providers, so payer and provider interoperability. Similar to Hans, coming in with a vendor perspective or the EHR perspective, as well as a health plan perspective. Happy to be here.
All right. Thank you, Derek. Raj Gadvardi.
Hey, good morning, everyone. I'm AVP of technology at MCG Health, primarily known for clinical decision support systems. So I have been working with HITECH Group over the last 3 years, along with many others. Primarily responsible for payer-provider interoperability standards, largely working in the prior auth space. I'm very excited to be part of this group this year.
All right, thank you, Raj. Bryant Thomas Karras. And Stephen Lane.
Hello, and nice to see so many old friends and to be back here again. My name is Stephen Lane. I serve as the Chief Medical Officer at Health Gorilla, one of the QHINs supporting the TEFCA framework. I'm also a primary care physician, and now with an entirely remote practice through Sutter Health in Northern California. I had the pleasure of serving on the HITECH from 2017 to 2023, serving on this task force when it was called the USCDI Task Force starting in 2017, and then co-chaired as it transitioned to the Interoperability Standards Work Group in 2022. I also work with the Sequoia Project as the co-lead of the Privacy and Consent Work Group, and am clinical professor emeritus at UCSF in Family and Community Medicine. I do advise a number of startups in the interoperability space focused on individual access service and exchange of data with payers and providers. And I'm really excited to be here. I've been on every one of the US CDI work groups and task forces from their inception, and I'm thrilled to be able to continue this time around.
All right. Thank you, Stephen. Hung Lu?
Good morning. I am a professor of pathology at UT Southwestern Medical Center in Dallas, and I am also the director of clinical pathology for Children's Health, a pediatric healthcare system in North Texas. I am starting my second term of high tech and very excited to continue the work. In terms of conflict of interest, I do receive salary support from the FDA and Veterans Health Administration for my work in laboratory interoperability.
All right, thank you, Hung. Meg Marshall. Liz Polina Hall.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Liz Polina Hall. I am the acting director for the Division of Digital Quality Measurement at CMS in the Quality Measure Value-Based Incentive Group in CCSQ, which is led by Michelle Schreiber, as many of you may know. My division focuses on the transition to digital quality measures across the quality reporting programs at CMS. I am a nurse informaticist by background and came to CMS by way of ONC, now ASTP. I had a variety of roles there, including as a branch chief for the work related to TEFCA. And I was also the long-term post-acute care coordinator for a number of years. And I have no conflicts. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Liz. Katrina Miller Parrish.
Good morning, everyone. I am a family physician, clinical informaticist. I'm the chief medical officer for an app in development called patient.com, which will hopefully help people be able to manage their healthcare a little bit more clearly and hopefully. I have a health plan background. I've been with HITECH and the interoperability group for 2 years now, and was actually brought on board because of my health plan background, having worked with Humana and LA Care Health Plan in informatics. And then before that, I was on the provider side. And then before that, academic medicine, but here also to represent for patients and families.
All right. Thank you, Katrina. Rhonda Perkins.
Hi, good morning. Rand Perkins, Chief Medical Information Officer at the Moffitt Cancer Institute. I oversee clinical informatics development here, very concerned with data integration for cancer patients especially, but I'm also a practicing family medicine doctor and take a holistic picture of that as well. But thank you all. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, thank you. Rochelle Prosser. And Mark Savage.
Good morning, Mark Savage. I've been working on digital health issues from an individual and community perspective since the HITECH Act of 2009 was passed, including the National Partnership for Women and Families in Washington, D.C., and then UC San Francisco Center for Digital Health Innovation, and now just working on issues of passion and provide SME support for the Health Equity by Design Task Force. I'm on the Manifest Medics Board, which is a California Health Information Exchange, and also on the digital exchange framework in California, which I was pleased to see was mentioned in the slides. It's good to be here. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mark. Naresh Sundar Rajan.
Good morning, everyone. This is Naresh, and I'm an informaticist by training. This is my second, second year with HITECH. I serve in multiple federal advisory committees and with interoperability as a subject matter expertise. And as far as conflicts of interest is concerned, I also am a part of a support team with CMS data aggregators contracts.
All right, thank you, Naresh. Wilson Washington.
Hi, Wilson Washington. I'm happy to be with the team. I'm a public health advisor with SAMHSA, Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. I've been in the health information technology area since 2010. Worked on the Affordable Care Act, worked on standards development, worked with most of the leading electronic record systems, including Epic, subject matter expert for the FDA for new technology developments that enhance or expand healthcare delivery. Work with ONC on the BHITS initiative, also on HL7, USCDI work group. just been around for quite a while, and I'm happy to be here. Have no conflicts. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Wilson. All right. Thanks, everyone. Are there any members that I missed or anyone who joined us that would like to indicate that they are present and introduce themselves? Okay. Well, then I am pleased then to welcome and turn it over to our co-chairs, Sarah DeSilvia and Steve Eichner, to get us into our agenda.
Mike, would you like to go first?
After you.
To me first. I think I already kind of laid the land for in my identification of myself, but I am really excited to have you all here today, and it's really nice to see new critical members across HHS be part of it. Wilson, welcome. I last saw you at the ASTP annual meeting. It's nice to see you here. One of the things that I hope that we do, and we were talking, Ike and I were talking about this, and we've been talking about this with ASTP, is really consider as we enter into this maturity model with USCDI, what are the critical gaps that remain ahead of us to complete our charge? And again, just very, very grateful for all of you and looking forward to this critically important work and honored to co-lead it with the brilliant Ike Eichner with your clinical practice and public health duo. Ike, off to you.
I want to echo everything that Sarah said. Thank you all for being here. We cannot do this without you. I think we're going to have some exciting times learning about a few things and really providing some excellent guidance back to ASTP and HHS as we continue to refine the USCDI and make it more useful. I think we'll also be spending a little bit of time kind of explaining or going into the relationship between USCDI and some of the other standards, just so we've got a good landscape of what's going on, so we understand how all of the pieces fit in our big jigsaw puzzle of health information exchange.
Wonderful. And again, sounds good. Next slide. I'm just going to quickly run through the agenda, and then we have we'll go into the background presentation led by the amazing Sarah Armson, who's coming in right now to fill the shoes of Al Taylor, who had a well-deserved retirement. We were able to celebrate at the annual meeting when I last saw many of you. What you're going to see here as we go forward is really a responsiveness to the concerns and thoughts that have been raised in past ISWGs as we plan these initial meetings to level set our work. So we're first going to go through the ISWG work group charge, and that's the next item on the agenda. And then Sarah Armson, Ashley Ashworth, and Liz Turey will kick off a USCDI background. Again, my apologies for only mentioning Sarah in the shoe filling. And again, this is a direct response to really wonderful conversations we had last year about purpose setting for our work and historical setting for our work before we enter into the work of this year's effort. And then we will close with public comment, as always, and then we'll talk about next steps, which includes getting the shared workspaces where we will do our work over the course of the next months, and then we'll close at 11:30, and then we'll see you next week. Any questions on the agenda? Okay, next slide. Next slide. Ike, do you want to cover the charge?
In some years, the ISWG has had a broad charge looking at lots of standards. This year, however, we are a little more focused, and our overreaching charge is to review and provide recommendations on draft USCDI version 6. Specifically, we've been asked to evaluate the draft and provide ASTP with recommendations, both looking at a review of the data elements that are included in the draft USCDI version 6 and whether there need to be any changes included in what was recommended before the final USCDI V6 is released, as well as looking at level 2 data elements that were not included in the draft to identify any that should be considered for inclusion in the final V6 release. Our timeline is pretty close. Our comments are due to ASTP by April 10th. It seems, yeah, that's 3 months away or 3.5 months away, but it will go quickly.
It will go and always goes very quickly. Any questions on the charge? This should be familiar to existing members, prior members, and just want to make sure new members understand the work ahead of us. All right, next slide. And now, again, this is directly in response to last year's questions, really to kind of top loading where we are at within the life cycle of USCDI and the scope and intersection of USCDI and USCDI Plus. We have our colleagues at ASTP, Sarah Armson, Ashley Ashworth, and Liz Terry to take us through a set of the kind of the core of our meeting today, which is again the grounding and level set, and then take it away. Sarah, Ashley, and Liz, it's nice to see you all.
Thank you, Sarah.
We might not be seeing you because of your camera issue.
I'm so bummed that my camera's not working, but it will be working next week. So I'll say hello to all of you. I got to join these meetings for the last 2 years as Al led them. So a lot of you are familiar faces, and we are so thankful for Al's leadership and guidance, and I learned a lot from him, and I'm also really excited to tell everyone about USCDI draft version 6, which we just published last week and will be the focus of our charge together. Next slide, please. So we'll start with a little bit of level setting, knowing that not everyone eats, breathes, sleeps USCDI. So our USCDI is our core set, our baseline set. The floor is another way to think about it, of data elements that supports exchange across health IT in the most broad sense. Another important principle of USCDI is that it updates and expands in a regular, predictable way, which is what we're a piece of that we're doing right now, which is the this annual meeting of the ISWG to focus on USCDI. Next slide, please. Where does USCDI fit in the bigger puzzle of health IT interoperability and the way in which ASTP promotes and drives forward health IT interoperability? And that's within the ASTP regulation that supports health IT certification. So the big picture is that certified health IT modules need to demonstrate capability to exchange USCDI data elements for certain criteria within the certification program. And the details of the development of the regulation are on the slide here in the bullets. Most recently, last year, HTI 1 was released, and that moves the USCDI version that's adopted for the certification program to version 3, and that goes into effect in 2026. And then the proposed HTI 2 also includes moving to USCDI version 4. And there, I will also mention that there are other programs in addition to the ONC certification program that require or incentivize the use of exchanging USCDI data elements. Next slide, please. Okay, so we're looking today at draft version 6 and preparing for ASTP to publish draft final V6. But I was just talking about in regulation, we're looking at version 3 and 4. Just a reminder that ASTP also has the Standards Version Advancement Process, or SVAP for short, as a mechanism for the adoption of more recently published standards. And so in last year's SVAP, USCDI V4 was included in the adoption of in those standards. And SVAP is another transparent and predictable process that you can look for on healthit.gov to see which standards have been included and future versions of USCDI are included in that SVAP process every year. Next slide, please. All right, back to that bigger picture. Where does USCDI fit into this, into all the different mechanisms that are promoting interoperability through health IT? So on the far left, you can see USCDI data elements. The exchange of USCDI data elements is outlined in HL7 implementation guides, specifically CCDA and FHIR US Core. And then there are requirements within the health IT certification program, the ONC certification program, for demonstrating the capability of that exchange. And that supports a whole host of interoperability needs and use cases as we get to the other side of the slide here: patient access, public health, provider communication, and beyond. Next slide, please. All right, let's talk about what just came out in draft USCDI version 6. Next slide, please. So our development of this version started like every version, every draft USCDI version. We started with a submission cycle in which we invited submission of new data elements and comments on existing data elements. And that ran from July to September. Also recently, as ASTP has been developing the USCDI Plus program, and Liz Turi is here to talk in detail with us about USCDI Plus today. But as those mechanisms have developed, we've also been able to use feedback from that system to inform the development of USCDI. So there's cross-pollination there. The feedback for both systems gets incorporated into the development process. And next slide, please. All right, and here it is, our draft V6. This year, we are calling this our small but mighty new data element release with 6 new data elements, but I will note that one of the data elements is actually an existing data element that has been significantly updated, that is unique device identifier, and we'll talk more about that significant update in a moment. And then you can also see on this slide that our data elements, which are organized into our data classes, give us a broad picture of this baseline floor set of data elements supporting interoperable data exchange. I will note here that we are talking about how data classes are very convenient visual organizers for grouping our data elements so that they're easy to find and so that the slide is easier to digest. But I will also note that there is not a tie between data class and data element in terms of use of the data element. For example, we have a result unit of measure in our laboratory data class, but there are other data elements on the slide. You'll notice that also would have a unit of measure. Blood pressure is a good example of that. Next slide, please. All right, now we're going to do a deeper dive into our 6 new data elements in the draft, as this is a large part of this group's charge. And as this is a part of the charge, I'm looking forward to the feedback and thoughts and discussion of the group. I will ask that we hold discussion until after Liz gets a chance to also give you a deep dive into USCDI Plus. So I'll go through my slides and let Liz go through her slides, because I have a hunch that Liz's explanation of USCDI Plus will also be an important context setting step for the thought and the work that the work group is going to have around what should be included in this version of the draft. Next slide, please. All right. So as we look through the data elements, just a reminder that we're looking for your thoughts and feedback on all the different parts that make up a data element, the name, the description. In our case of USCDI, the description also includes usage notes and examples. And then we have applicable standards, and the applicable standards are the required vocabularies that certified health IT modules must demonstrate capability of exchanging for data elements. Not all data elements have an applicable standard. So if it is blank, there is none recommended by USCDI. Looking forward to feedback from the ISWG on all elements of, or all pieces of each data element. Next slide, please. All right, starting with a new data element in our data class of facility information is facility address. Next slide. In our medical devices data class, the data element unique device identifier. Noting here that previously the data element was called unique device identifier implantable. And now the data element is significantly modified to be unique device identifier, and nothing qualifying that. So all UDIs, removing that implantable identifier and applying more broadly to any device that carries a UDI. And a reminder that this would be this would add the requirement for health IT modules to be able to exchange UDIs that are implantable or non-implantable devices. But this does not, the change in this data element does not affect any type of guidance or requirement of which of those devices that have a UDI are captured within the workflow. There are lots of other levers and influences and drivers of that piece of information, just like it would for any data element. Next slide, please. In addition to our orders data class, so our orders data class was new in our USCDI version 5, and now we have a new data element for portable medical order. This is an example of a data element that has that has a usage note included as part of the description to help support the description. Next slide, please. In our patient summary and plan data class, we have a new data element for care plan. This data element includes usage notes as well as examples. Next slide, please. And two new data elements in our problems data class. These are date of onset and family health history. Next slide, please. Some additional changes in the draft include adding applicable standards to four existing data elements, and also updates to data element definitions for five data elements. And the updates to standards and definitions are also informed by public comments during the feedback period. And they are to support better understanding of the data element implementation, and also in the case of applicable standards, sometimes those are added or changed as we get more information about what would best support use of the data element. Next slide, please. Okay, so we have a public comment period for the draft that corresponds with the months that we are working together as ISWG. So about the time that the ISWG will be wrapping up your letter for HITECH, the public comment period will also be ending at that around that time in April. And we are asking for the public to also give us feedback on the data classes and data elements and level two data elements. And we're about to dive into the different levels of data elements and also give us information about barriers or challenges to the use of the data elements. Next slide, please. Oh, and this picture gives us an idea of where we are in our cycle. We're right at the top of this page in January, starting this draft USCDI V6 feedback period. And then you'll see that as we get to summer in July, we expect to publish the final version of USCDI version 6. Next slide, please. In the charge and on my previous slide, we talked about level two data elements. So we'll look briefly at the definitions for what it means to be a data element at the various levels. Next slide, please. So when the public goes into our submission, data element submission portal that we call OnDeck, we take a look at the submitted data elements and put them into categories as part of the assessment and development of each version of USCDI. And these are levels zero, which if you've been around for a few years, you might remember it used to be called comment. But now we just call that level zero. It was confusing to have it go that be the only one without a number. So level zero, level one, and level two. And next slide, please. So the level two data elements, and you can find this criteria on healthit.gov. If you go to the USCDI pages and you're browsing through USCDI and all of the tabs, these tabs are at the top of your screen. And right underneath are the criteria for each level. So a level two data element is the most mature data element. It means that it is represented in exchange standards and terminology standards. So the standards development work is mature for that data element that we see capture and access of that data element in production level health IT modules and also exchange of that data element between production level health IT modules. And then in addition to that technical maturity, the other piece that we're looking for is, does this data element apply to most use cases and care specialties? And that's really where we're evaluating, is this data element part of this core set? Should this be the floor for what health IT modules should be required to demonstrate capability for certification? However, foreshadowing a little bit for what Liz is going to dive into for us, we know that there are very critical data elements to be exchanged that don't necessarily fit into that very general broad baseline or floor need, and that some deep thinking about what to do about that led to the development of UCDI Plus, which I'll let Liz go into the details. Next slide, please. All right, and now we just have the overview of level one and level zero. You can peruse how we've graduated these levels and the maturity, technical maturity of these data elements. Next slide, please. And then just noting that even if a data element is very technically mature, but it is not used broadly across use cases and care settings and specialties, we do put that in level zero for transparency so that you can see that they were submitted to USCDI. We do have mechanisms for looking across USCDI and USCDI Plus to inform the development of USCDI Plus, just like the USCDI team is looking at USCDI Plus feedback and submissions. It goes the other direction. So just because a data element is in level zero for the reason of it not applying in the most broad of situations doesn't mean that it's not also in the awareness and of the USCDI Plus teams. Next slide, please. And I'm going to turn it over to Liz.
Good morning. My name is Liz Turi. For those who I haven't had the pleasure of working with before, I am the Branch Chief for Care Coordination and Collaboration here within the Standards Division. In that role, I also lead the USCDI Plus program management efforts, as well as specifically lead USCDI Plus Cancer. I'm also engaged in a number of the other USCDI Plus initiatives. Next slide, please. So as Sarah and both Sarahs have mentioned, I am going to go over what USCDI Plus is. We felt that it was really important for you to have exposure to this, understand what it is we do within USCDI Plus and how it relates to USCDI. So as Sarah pointed out that, you know, in evaluating all of the data element requests that we've gotten over the years, we've found a number of places where we are asked for very highly specific, very use case oriented data elements that make excellent sense for those use cases and those interoperability needs, but don't necessarily meet the threshold for broad requirements around EHR exchange from the standpoint of USCDI. So we have developed USCDI Plus. Quality and public health were the initial two. It rapidly expanded to cancer, maternal health, and behavioral health. And we even have a couple of projects that don't fall within an existing domain. It has been a wildly popular program that has seen a lot of engagement from our federal partners, which we really, really appreciate. We can't do this without federal and external partners because we do need very good input input along the way, and I'll go over what a life cycle of a US EDI Plus project is in a few minutes. So what's important here is that as we develop domains and use cases, that we make sure that we focus in on the very narrow, very highly specific use cases where possible, or at least domains where the data elements could be more nuanced than what US EDI provides for, or there's a gap. US EDI doesn't have a concept that's related. So US EDI Plus really addresses two areas. One is addressing any gaps, but two is seeing where those nuanced data elements fit within the broader scope of US EDI. And we've seen this in a number of areas. We've seen this in quality. We've certainly seen this in cancer. And I'll go over those in a minute. In all cases, we really seek to leverage programs and authorities across HHS in order to drive adoption. We have a couple of examples where we are currently live based on a US EDI Plus data element list. The first one is with HRSA and the UDS Plus, looking to exchange data for their annual reporting programs. That is live. It's going into its second version now. And then the other one where we have live data being exchanged based on US EDI Plus concepts are with EOM within the US EDI Plus cancer domain. Let's see. All right, next slide. Here you can see all of our domains and the use cases that we have within them. You know, some of these we're continuing to iterate and refine on, especially behavioral health, maternal health, and we are going through the process now of looking at what other initiatives or what's the next step on some of our ongoing ones. So, for example, enhancing oncology model. Now that they're into their second year, we're looking at, you know, are there modifications that need to be made there? Cancer registry just went live with the data element list. And so those data elements are now informing the next iteration of the Central Cancer Registry IG. That's ongoing work right now, and we're also looking at how we involve cancer going forward. Public health, same thing. They're looking at, they're currently working on dispositioning public comments from last summer's public feedback period. Quality is doing the same thing. And respiratory illness just came out of a public feedback period last week. So they'll be working on starting dispositioning those comments. Sickle cell disease, which has been just an incredible journey so far. They're kicking off with their technical expert panel and plan to go to public feedback this summer. So we have a lot of work going on. Behavioral health, we're working on pilot planning and IG refinement. So a lot of really, really exciting work going on across the board. I did promise you that I would talk about what a US EDI Plus project life cycle looks like in general, although individual projects may vary slightly depending on the needs of the project. That's actually one of the strengths of US EDI Plus, is that we are so tightly coupled with the use case in particular and the partner agencies that are actively engaged. Next slide, please. So what does that mean? So this, again, is very, very high level. There are opportunities for engagement at most of these steps. We start off with discovery. An agency comes to us, or somebody comes to us with a potential use case. It may or may not fall within an existing domain, but they come to us with an opportunity. We take a look at it to see, you know, where it fits. What are the levers? What are we looking to do? And we do some really high level use case drafting to help frame how we approach environmental scans, interested party interviews. One variant was the Cancer Summit that the Cancer Data Element, Cancer Summit, sorry, back in May, in order to do an accelerated interview process so that we could get broad feedback across the board. And all of those help to inform further refinement on the use cases and really drilling down to what is it exactly that we're looking for? What are the domain and use case inclusion exclusion criteria? How do we do this? Once we get through that further refinement, we do the data element list development with broad engagement across the federal partners that are engaged in each of the use cases or domains. And then from that, we develop a draft list that gets published on our platform, USCDI Plus platform. We have a public feedback period. We go through comment dispositioning. So again, this is a really familiar pattern. We do this with SFAP that Sarah pointed out earlier. We certainly do that with USCDI. We do that with USCDI Plus. We make sure it's a very public engagement. We also add listening sessions where appropriate for the data element lists. As we learned through best practices, through USCDI plus cancer, we applied it to respiratory illness. We're applying it to other engagements as we evolve. Once those data element lists are finalized, we go through IG development where applicable. It really depends again on the use case. Testing and piloting may be appropriate. Again, depending on the use case. We certainly saw multiple connectathon testing and vendor engagement testing with enhancing oncology model. We did so with UDS Plus as well. Their pilot program also then both of those pilot program testing and pilot programs fed into their adoption into production. And we anticipate similar happening across the other use cases and domains, you know, at some flavor. You know, we again, it's very, very highly use case specific. I don't mean to repeat myself too many times, but that is really the driving difference between USCDI and USCDI Plus is that emphasis on, you know, really looking to the use case and understanding what those data needs are, where those nuances are. And with that, I think I've come to the end of my slides. So I will hand it back over to, I'm not sure who I'm handing it over to, actually.
I actually think we'll hand it over to Sarah and Ike because we have purposely given ourselves some time for some question and discussion about the USCDI and USCDI background.
And I am here and ready to help. Sarah and Liz, thank you so, so much. And Ashley, I know you participated in the slides as well. Again, I hope members of this workgroup see some of the questions that came up in our 2024 cycle. Early in our first couple meetings being addressed in this presentation of the level setting. I do want to give workgroup members an opportunity to address specific comments within Sarah Armson's slides regarding the USCDI level setting, and also give members an opportunity to address any questions within Liz's slide and the intersection of USCDI Plus and our work here in ISWG. So members, if you have any questions, I believe now is the time to raise them. And mostly just thank you for this incredibly clear grounding. We're learning as we go forward. And Ike and I both appreciate this this base orientation for our work. Eden.
Hi there. That was a wonderful set of presentations and really, really great to review the background of all of this and put it all into context. It's marvelous to see this work continue forward. This is not so much a question as just a comment. I'm very pleased with the new data elements. It's, you know, having followed USCDI along the path and having worked closely with Al and the team, you know, I think we continue on this process of iterative changes, really looking for the highest value items to add to the list. So I think the ones that have been chosen are great. Obviously, there are others in level two that that are worth considering. And for those new to this process, I think one of the opportunities we really have is to look carefully at level two and see if there are other things that we might want to advocate for adding to version six in addition to these that have been recommended. I think in particular, there are a number of items there that are quite mature, that are routinely exchanged, that might really add value to consider adding to USCDI. You know, I'm thinking about referral orders and health insurance information in particular, where there's really well-established exchange. So hopefully we'll have a chance to talk about those. I think we also have an opportunity to look down into level zero and one to identify items that perhaps are more mature than ONC has realized or has categorized them. Their, you know, advanced directives, this group and its forebears has spent a lot of time looking at advanced directives and talking about the value of exchanging that data. And there's also some items in patient demographics that I think are pretty well established that I'm surprised to see still down in level one. I did want to make a comment about date of onset in particular, which is, you know, one of the highlighted items here. That's near and dear to my heart because I actually submitted that in 2021, along with date of diagnosis and date of resolution, both of which were added in version two, but date of onset has sort of lagged behind. And when we get to that, you know, I'll be happy to help represent that and talk about the use cases and why that's valuable. So again, thank you all to the team for your work, and I'm ready to dive in.
Put myself on mute, of course. Stephen, thank you so much for that. Very helpful. And I love that you're already queuing up our work to be done and analyzing, you know, remembering our charge, which is commenting on existing draft USCDI V6 elements and really deeply leaning into level two elements that need to be brought up from the perspective of our work group expertise. Hung?
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you so much for that presentation. It was a lot of information, so I apologize if I missed this and it was already addressed. But one question that has come up in about USCDI Plus in the past is that the different agencies might propose similar data elements with some very nuanced differences. What is the mechanism by which how we would harmonize that, because I think the purpose of USCDI Plus, in addition to these niche cases, is also to recognize or identify data elements that have a broader use case than previously determined. That is, if multiple agencies come up with very similar data elements, that makes the case that it should be elevated to the core set. But the conundrum then is which one do you elevate? Because if they're all similar with individual or very nuanced differences, how do you harmonize those differences? Do you try to do that at the point of development, in which case you would try to work across agencies to make sure that they are the same so that people don't get confused when or try to use something interchangeably when it's really not interchangeable? Or do you harmonize that at the point of elevation to make sure that the data element still serves all the use cases that it was individually developed for?
I will jump in right there. Thank you for that comment. Actually, I meant to address that in my presentation. So there are a couple of different ways that we handle that because it is a real concern. It's something that we think about regularly and have frequent conversations about. So a couple of things. So within a domain, even across use cases, we certainly see this come up. Within cancer, for example, and I'll keep reverting to cancer just because of all the domains, that's the one I'm most familiar with. We had a lot of really careful conversations around, you know, is this harmonized across each other? Are these data elements realistically cohesive and harmonizable? Are there any distinguishing characteristics that we need to think about that would separate them? And for the most part, what we found is that no, really, any of those nuanced differences tended to really be harmonizable, and we were able to do so within USCDI plus cancer. Then bringing it out to a broader vision, we have constantly worked to compare against USCDI and have conversations with members of the USCDI team in order to ensure harmonization between USCDI and USCDI plus, i.e., is this a gap that we're addressing, or is this a subset of USCDI? I really love to use the medications as an example. So for example, in cancer, medications is already a USCDI element. So we did not feel like we needed to further refine a new data element into a new data element for medications. However, for the cancer use cases, they had decided they're only concerned with the cancer-related medications for the purposes of exchange. And so it was determined that at the point of IG development, that's where they would really clarify what the value sets, the subset of the overall USCDI would be at the point of implementation. You could also make the argument that that in some cases we have things that come up in USCDI plus that that inform revision at the USCDI level. And we do have a couple of things that we had been thinking about to determine whether or not, you know, are these realistically different data elements or are they same? Are there conversations we need to have about refining a USCDI data element definition versus, you know, creating a, you know, an offset with USCDI plus? And those conversations are regular. We do we have them formally in established meetings, and we have them informally in conversations with USCDI leads and other subject matter experts within those areas. I hope that helps.
Do you want to reply? Just making sure that you had your question.
Yes, thank you very much. That's very helpful.
Wonderful.
I'll just add that we, if you see an area related to that that you would like to give feedback on, both the commenting on the USCDI data element pages and the USCDI plus pages, both of those mechanisms, if you see those similarities and crossovers where you would like us to note and make those connections, we welcome that feedback. We're doing our internal work, but we also welcome public and expert feedback on it.
Thank you, Sarah. Any further thought or comments on that USCDI plus USCDI intersection topic? All right, we have about 10 minutes for ISWG internal conversation. Then we move to public comment. Just want to make sure everyone's aware. Katrina, hello.
Thank you. Thank you. Again, I want to echo the sentiments that this is, you know, amazing and difficult work, I know, to sort of prioritize and make these decisions. I'm not sure if I missed it in the presentation, but if I did, if it could be reiterated, this looks like a relatively small number of additions for version 6. And I was wondering, is that because there was a thought that they were incredibly more complex or difficult in order to be able to execute or to approve sort of why the small number. And then just echoing Stephen's thoughts that, you know, I mean, there's so many good things to try to get into this list from really level two right down to level zero. I'm still very interested to get laboratory time stamps on things that I think is an equity issue to make sure that we know when labs were done in order for treatment to be equitable. So if you could just comment on why we just have this small number suggested. I will add that I know that we can make more recommendations as the ISWG and with our report to HITECH and for the HITECH report. But if you could just answer that, that would be great. Thank you so much.
Yes, so happy to address that. We are calling this small but mighty, but not because we expect the implementation burden of these particular six to be any greater than other years where we've added data elements. We did a number of things like we always do in the development of this draft, including the public feedback, the HITECH reviewing the HITECH recommendations from previous years, and the culmination of those things, and also taking into account the priorities and guidance of the ASTP leadership. One additional activity that we did in this development cycle is we had some subject matter expert review of our level two data elements in regards specifically to the technical maturity, making sure that what's represented on the level two tab right now is truly meeting those technical criteria. So standards development is mature and production level capture access and exchange in more than one health IT module. However, we are really looking forward to additional feedback, especially if this group of experts has that real world examples of technical maturity of data elements that are in other levels. We're really looking forward to that information. Even though we get subject matter expert review, no one can be aware of everything all at once. Then the other piece that I mentioned that's unique to the development of this set is this is really one of the first times we're able to do systematic incorporation of the input on USCDI Plus and incorporate that into the development, because all the mechanisms have lined up now for us to fold that practice into the development of USCDI. In summary, we've got kind of our usual development process. We've got a few extra things that we did along this path that resulted in these six new changes. And I will mention that we have discussed as part of the work we've discussed with Sarah and Ike, going back through the previous ISWG recommendations and giving, organizing those into what's been applied, what hasn't been applied, what's been deferred, and maybe why it was deferred, if we have that information available. Asking this year's ISWG to take a look at that and give us some feedback on that whole process.
Thank you so much, Sarah. And that makes sense. That's how we've done it. The balance between ISWG pressing forward and the recommendations coming out of ASTP is now
We know that well. Katrina, did that answer your question? So it wasn't a burden. It wasn't a burden consideration at all. It was really like that these are the next and partly within like a maturity model for USCDI. And this is where we come in with our expertise and say, within the perspective of ASTP, this is the set, and we ask for this because of this reason. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does make sense. And I would welcome the review of the previous levels to make sure that things are in the right place. Thanks.
Fantastic. Okay, Mark, we have again about 4 minutes before we go to public comment.
Thanks. I add my deep appreciation for the time and detail spent on the background for USCDI and USCDI Plus. It was, to me, interesting to see them together. We often talk about USCDI as being there to serve multiple use cases. That's why the data elements are so important. And then we see USCDI Plus, which starts with a use case, a single use case. And just to see those in parallel is very interesting and raises some questions for me. And so I really appreciated those presentations. I am especially pleased to see care plan and family health history on this list, having worked with the work group and so many for so long to try to get those up and ready. And I'm really looking forward to discussing those. I think that those will lead to huge impacts for care and equity in the future. And now is the time. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Mark. And then I believe Stephen, and then Stephen might close us out before we go to public comment. Stephen.
Yeah, thanks. I was waiting for you to say that, Mark, because you have been such a champion of the care plan through multiple cycles. So it is so exciting to see it here. And I'm looking forward to diving into that one. I also wanted to comment on portable medical orders, which again are being presented as primarily focused on end of life and life sustaining care, which is important and critical, but portable medical orders has so much more to offer us. And we discussed this in years past. I put this into the chat, that really all medical orders should ideally be portable to be able to follow the patients so that as they move around the healthcare ecosystem, they have choice, they have the ability to go to facilities that are most convenient to them and meet their needs so that they can get the tests performed in a way that's best for them and have those results route back to themselves, to the ordering provider and ECC providers, et cetera. So I hope we revisit that and again, expand the scope of what portable medical orders can and should do in the future.
Excellent. And that kind of that aligns with the conversations we had about portable medical orders last year in this work group. Any other further questions on the amazing presentation and the level set or questions on the charge? Hans.
Thank you very much. Just a couple of thoughts, and I really appreciate the overview and where things are moving. There's a question as USCDI and UCDI Plus are interplaying more and more, which is actually great. And as we would like to see that, are there any tools on the UCDI Plus there are that actually can provide you a full total review of USCDI elements and USCDI Plus? There are relationships that you can get in USCDI Plus. You can figure out, is it already in USCDI or not, if you're looking at it from a USCDI Plus perspective, but it's a little bit harder to understand the other direction. And in some of the reviews, as we're going to delve in, that kind of a perspective or ability to easily find out where is this used across the board, one direction or the other, what would be great. And I'm wondering whether, as much as we're still treating, and that's the overall consideration over time, is that we are considering USCDI and UCDI Plus very much separately still, to really start to consider more opportunities to look at them as one integrated set of data that happen to be used for different use cases. So anything that can be clarified as we go through the conversation to have that kind of ability to easily search, find, understand where things are being used would be great as part of the review. And I think as part of the review overall, and portable medical orders is going to be an example of that. Family history is going to be an example of that. As we're looking at definitions, What does it really mean that it's being asked to support? Your CDI focuses on the concept and the vocabulary, but one of the aspects that we clearly will have to look at is that what kind of standards are we using from an implementation perspective to enable systems to support that? And I think with a couple of these, other ones are much more clear, a couple of these we are going into a similar kind of questions of what's really the standard that is in play today, demonstrable that this information can be exchanged in the format that we intend, FHIR and CCDA. So I'm looking forward to that conversation and that level of clarity, and perhaps in advance of it, or at least as we're putting in comments and suggestions, as we are identifying those, that would be great to identify, because the submission forms do not extend to that level in all places where they need to.
I'm gonna jump in real quick because Hans asked if there's any tooling on the US CDI Plus side. So we do have the US CDI Plus platform. I didn't do an overview of that today because that wasn't the focus of the type of level setting that we're doing here. But there is a field within US CDI Plus platform that indicates whether or not that particular data element is in US CDI, and you are able to export all data elements. So you do get, you have the ability to filter down to which of these data elements are US CDI. So we do have that. It is still limited to a filtering capability, and we don't necessarily have all US CDI elements in the platform, but we do have the vast majority of them just through the nature of the work with quality and behavioral health in particular.
Thank you. Yeah, I think particularly the getting all of USCDI in there, even if not used in USCDI Plus, will be tremendously helpful to get that big picture. And just as a heads up, I'm actually in the spreadsheet right now that is downloadable, which is really extremely helpful. So I'm not taking anything away from it. I'm looking at the next step. The USCDI column, whether something is in USCDI, is not valued for everything. So that makes it look, just those are the kinds of things that if we can continue to progress on advancing that, then these kind of reviews will become easier and easier over time as well. And I think we're moving the right direction. So I'm not taking away anything from that.
Thank you so much, Hans. And I want to make sure we have time for public comment. And Stephen, I will address your comment in next steps because we plan to set ourselves up just as we did last year. So great minds. Seth, I believe it's time to go to public comment and we're a little bit late.
All right. Thank you, Sarah. So we're going to move into our public comment portion of the agenda. If you are participating on the Zoom and would like to make a comment, you can use the raise hand feature, which is located on your Zoom toolbar at the bottom of your screen. If you're participating by phone only today, you can press *9 to raise your hand. And then when it's called upon, press *6 to mute and unmute your line. And while we give folks a chance to raise hands from the public, just a reminder that the next interoperability standards workgroup meeting is scheduled for a week from today on Tuesday, January 28th, and that's going to be from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time. And all of the meeting materials for the task force meetings are made available on healthit.gov. I'm going to check on the phone. Do we have any comments at this time? Okay, no comments on the phone. And I see no hand just raised in the Zoom. So I will turn it back to Sarah and Steve to discuss next steps and close this out.
Fantastic. Before I dive in, do you want to reflect on today and offer anything before I talk about what's to come that we all can expect?
No, I think we're ready for next steps.
Fantastic. Okay, so great minds think alike. I just want to note, Stephen. So I did suggest that as part, first of all, again, ASTP, thank you so much for this level setting. It's really helpful, especially if we have new members. Thank you so much for the review of USCDI V6. And I think everyone, I hope, understands our charge for the next months ahead of us. I did recommend that it's always helpful to go back and remember what I said. Last year in out of this group work group, but Stephen notes, and of course this is true, that many of these elements have been discussed longitudinally over time over many different work groups. So we just elevated that with care plan
right? So akin to what we did last year, you can expect a similar spreadsheet that includes an analysis of things that have been said consistently, just so all of the ISWG members can understand the kind of ecosystem and lay of the land. And then when we come back next week, look forward to diving into the work. Specifically, I just want to mention for everybody in alignment with what we've done in the past as well, a key part of our charge, if we are recommending level two elements, is identifying subject matter experts that are best to speak to them to help inform our recommendations. Just based on what I know from co-chairing this committee, identifying them early in the process is really, really critical. So if you have a level two element that is near and dear to your heart, or an additional element, and you want to carry that forward, identifying experts to help us in that work is always helpful as soon as possible. On that note, I believe we are very, very close to finishing. So our upcoming meetings, we're meeting weekly and Tuesday mornings. Thank you so much for adapting. And then we aim to get our recommendation done early enough to get a really careful copy of the recommendations over well in advance of the in-person high-tech meeting on April 10th. We were a little bit close last year, so we're going to hope to get ourselves together a little bit early. And again, that means that you are a member of the work group and you have topics that matter, that you lean into the work early and make sure that we're all able to review it. And if you have subject matter experts that you feel like are important, that we get them in ASAP. And then, Mark, you had your hand up. Do you have anything else to say?
I just wanted to check, might it also be appropriate to have a subject matter expert presentation on recommended elements where we think there might need to be some change, so not just level two?
Yes, yes.
Thank you.
I think specifically regarding like care plan, it's different as present as in USCDIV-6 than it was as presented and recommended by ISWG last year. So again, so my apologies.
Exactly.
Thank you so much, Mark.
Yep.
For your experience. Yeah. So again, we are a tiny but mighty ISWG group, and we leverage the wisdom of all kinds of people in the ecosystem. So any questions on next steps, ISWG meeting cadence, the work at hand before we close and look forward to next week? All right, friends. This way, I always say those first ISWG meetings are so gentle, and then the work starts. And all of us who've been here in prior meetings know how intense this work is. Even with the tiny but mighty recommendations from on USCDIV-6, we all know the elements that matter to us in level two and the elements and the refinements we want to make. There's a lot of work ahead of us. Thank you all for volunteering to commit to it. Ike, anything else before we go?
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Sarah. And I thank you for the definitely the advance emails with presentations and also the level set here we went through today. So this gives a good look inside of where we're trying to go and what we've been looking at. And so for me, this was very helpful. Thank you so much.
Oh, you are so welcome. Little did you know what would happen when I bumped into you at the annual meeting. I know. Ike, anything else?
Everybody, do take a look at the USCDI, especially the level two elements, and identify what elements you think might need to get included. And again, identify potential speakers. If we get the information early, we can get things scheduled. If it delay a few weeks, unfortunately, it really condenses the calendar. We may miss things if we don't get information terribly quickly.
Go team. Thank you so much for participating in this critical work, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you.